Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Kuf Beis. We are starting with the Mishnah on Kuf Alpha Med Beis. Here in the 10th Perek, a couple more days to go, more than a couple, but a couple more days to go in terms of the conclusion of the Masechta. And we are here in the 10th Perek talking about mostly Inyanei Hotzah. But as we're going to see, the Mishnais themselves are going to cover somewhat of a range of topic, all having to do with Shabbos. But this is really more a Perek about Shabbos than it is about Erevin. We're continuing. We're going to talk now about bolting the front door. Bolting the front door back in the good old day. So it was a bolt. Nowadays, with our modern convention, so we have a locking mechanism that's built into the door. But in the good old days, so they had some sort of bolt that they put over the door. There are two challenges that one is going to be facing. And so what the Tanaim and the Gemara are going to be dealing with is basically one of two challenges. One is that sometimes the bolt can look very much like you were constructing. And so therefore, what we don't want the bolt to serve as is any kind of binyan. Obviously, if it's a bolt that goes into the door, like the mechanisms we have, so it's tashmish b'kach, it was designed like that. So obviously, it's not going to be an issue of construction, but nevertheless, the bolts they had back in the day, so some of them very much look like something that was more like construction. So we're not saying that it's actual binyan itself, but mechzik binyan, it looks like building, so that's one challenge that one needs to circumvent. The other challenge is that the bolt, generally speaking, was something that was just a piece of wood or a piece of metal, and there is a muksa consideration. Now, obviously, if it's designated as a bolt, so that does, to a certain degree, override the muksa consideration, but certainly, and we're going to see this a little bit later on, if it's a kli, if it's actually designed as a kli, so then it's not going to have any muksa consideration whatsoever. So those are two real issues that the Chachamim had to deal with when dealing with this boat, with this bolt. So with that stated, so we're going to have a couple of Mishnahs coming up in the beginning of today's daf that deals with the bolt that we're bolting the door with. Nagashesh Barosho Glustera. So let's say we have a bolt and on its head it has a glustera, some sort of knob on the top of its head. Rashi writes over here, second Rashi in the Mishnah, Shesh Barosho Glustera, Shirosho Ava. The head of this bolt is very thick. V'ra'ui Lebuchna, Lachosh V'lishkok Bo, Pilpilin. And basically, what you could use it as is a mortar. You can grind things up, peppers and such. Now, it's a kli. So now that it's a kli, so basically we circumvent the entire muksa issue. It's not muksa anymore. So being that it's a kli, nevertheless, we're going to see in our Mishnah a machlokus between the Tanaim. Well, Rashi goes and presents the machlokus of the Tanaim, but let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's see the machlokus of the Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer Oser. So Rabbi Eliezer says he can't use it. And Rabbi Yossi Matim. Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter. You are, in fact, allowed to use it. I'm Rabbi Eliezer Meiser, Bekinesership, it's very Ashayu, no Agambo Heter, Ashaba Rabbi Gamliel, Vazakanim, Vasra Lahem. So, Rabbi Eliezer brings an incident, an episode, that certainly would seem to support his position. Consider the, what happened in the Shulm Tveria, where, they were using this kind of bolt, with a knob on the top of it, and the Chachamim came along. Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim came along and they said, you're not allowed to use it. No, that's my position. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Yisr Naguba Bo Uva Rabbi Gamliel Vezekenem Vitir Lehen. So Rabbi Yossi said, you got most of the story right with a couple of important details that you did not get right. And notably, that the Anshei Tveria first thought that it was Usser, and then along comes Rabbi Gamliel and says that it's Mutter. So aside from that, you pretty much got the story right, except no. The conclusion was Rabbi Gamliel said that it's mutter. Now, we need a little more clarification. What's the issue over here? Obviously, I told you what the issue is not. The issue is not muksa, because it is basically a mortar. Although, admittedly, by the way, if you think about it, it's a klisha melachta l'isser, meaning, obviously, the grinding on Shabbos is prohibited. But nevertheless, it's a kli. So there are now more allowances to use it on Shabbos. It's a klisha melachta l'isser, but still, you're allowed to use it. Tzarch gufo and tzarch mekomo. Okay, so muksa we've taken out of the discussion. What is the issue? Obviously, there's an issue because Rabbi Elazar says you're not allowed to use it. Rav Yossi is a matir, but what's Rabbi Elazar's concern? Let's start with the Gemara. Benita ba'agdo kol amalo pligi. So let's say that this bolt is tied to the door. If the bolt is tied to the door, so then everyone's going to be in agreement that's going to be fine. And Rashi writes on the very bottom of the Amud, Deshar dekev dekashav atalo yafe mucha milsa delin ol kai. If it is tied to the door, and Rashi adds a point, also talui, it's also hanging. What does that mean? It means that it's tied so taut to the door that it's actually hanging off the door. So now we see it as part and parcel of the door, and we're not using that as an expression. It now is part and parcel of the door. So under those circumstances, so then there's no issue whatsoever. And Rashi concludes, and here are the key words of Rashi, v'lo mechzik habona. It's not even, it doesn't even look like binyan. Meaning for sure it's not binyan, but we don't even arrive at the issue of mechzik habona. Under those circumstances, it's fine. Key plea back to the Gemara now as we turn to the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, the machlokus between the Tanaim, b'she'eino nital be'igdo. So we're talking about a time where it's not tied. Or, as Rashi describes over here, it's tied, but the string is so loose, you can't even pick it up with the string. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, where he's matir, so so it's Torah's kli, meaning it's not a muksa, because it has a shame kli on it, and on top of that, it's not mechzik habona. It doesn't look like you're building. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer is machmir umar saver kevin deinu nital b'igdolo. No, since you can't pick it up with the string, so therefore it doesn't really look as part of the door. If it doesn't really look as part of the door, and I'm bolting it, so now mechzik habona, it looks like you're constructing. Rashi writes on the very top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, well, the string is so flimsy that if I try to pick it up from the string, it just wouldn't. The string would snap. Rabbi Elazar Sarver came into Eino Nito be Igdo, Davi Kamisha Eino Kasher. So since the string is so flimsy, it's as if it's not tied. Utanan Lakama Nagar Manuch Sheino Kasher Bedelas Ein Noalim Bo. So, and we're going to see in the upcoming Mishnah that if I have a bolt that's not tied to the door, you can't use that bolt. And as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, the knob at the end is not going to help you. Meaning just because that's a shame kli, that only circumvents one issue, meaning it's not muksa now. Okay, but still mechze kabona. And Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, explains Rashi, Rabbi Yossi suffer glustera mehan yale dekem deklihu lo have a kebinyan. So you see now, Rashi explains Rabbi Yossi beautifully, in that now that it has a shame kli on it, it really takes away two problems. One, now that it has the Shema Kli, so it's no longer Muksa. And secondarily, who constructs with Kalim? Now, very well, this could be Rashi L'shitaso. Rashi, throughout Shabbos and throughout Erevin, said, Ein Binyan V'stira B'Kalim. Now, the Gemara said that. But Rashi's application of the idea of Ein Binyan V'stira B'Kalim is that that goes across the board, meaning there is categorically no Malacha of Bona and Soser when it comes to Kalim. And what Rashi's saying over here is that according to the Shita of Rav Yossi, once you have a kli, not only is it not bona, it's not even mechze kabona. Meaning because since nobody builds with kalim, so it's not even an issue of perception. There's no gzera de rabbanan, and it's not mechze kabona. Good. So what Rav Yossi says is that once it has a shame kli, it removes both issues. It's not a mukse issue, and it's also not mechze kabona. We go back to the Gemara. We start with the next mission. We're in Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Nagar Nigrar. So let's say the bolt is dragging. Dragging means, says Rashi, that it's tied to the door, but the string is not taut. And the string is long. And so basically now it's on the ground. So it looks as if now it's not connected to the door, even though, of course, there's a string connecting it. But because now it's hanging on the, it's not hanging, but rather it's lying down on the ground. So now we have an issue of mechze. It looks like now something I'm building with. So nagar nigra noalam ba b'mekdash avalo b'medina. So the issue over here is that it's perception. It's mechze kibona. So in the Beis HaMikdash, so one could use it, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. So as we say time and again, and here these Mishnayos and Gemaras and Erevin are some of the source materials for the principle of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. There is no Gzera D'Rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if you've been with us long enough in the Daf, you know that there is Isuri D'Rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. But as a general rule, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, there is no Isuri D'Rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. Could be connected with the idea that Kohanim Zerizim, the Kohanim are vigilant, they have a lot of alacrity, and so therefore they don't need the same kind of safeguards that you and I need. Okay, maybe, but regardless, so that's the basic idea. So over here, if we're not talking about Binyan, we're only talking about Mechzeik Binyan, that's Gzera D'Rabbanan. Since that's Gzera D'Rabbanan, in the Beis HaMikdash they were Mekel, outside the Beis HaMikdash they were Machmir. V'hamunach, now, If the bolt is lying down on the ground, it's not even tied up. So then kamakan usher, so it's going to be usher in both the Beis HaMikdash and also outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'amunach, Rashi writes last Rashi in the Mishnah, Sheinu kasher klal, have a binyan mamish. So now we are entering into a new realm, which is that if I have a bolt and it doesn't have a shame kli on it, and it's not tied to the door, and I just simply pick it up and I bolt the door, so Rashi is describing that as binyan mamish. Now you understand why Rashi is describing that as binyan mamish. Because in the Beis HaMikdash it's aser. If in the Beis HaMikdash it's aser, so we have to go beyond an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's got to be now an Issa d'Oraisa. Exactly. That's why Rashi says that it's mamish binyan. Now, the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, back to the Mishnah. So far, by the Munach, in the case where the bolt is not even tied to the door, Shitas Tanakama of our Mishnah is that it is binyan mamish. And so therefore you cannot do it in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't do it, obviously, outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, back to the Mishnah, HaMunach Mutar BeMikdash VeHanigra BeMedina. So Rabbi Yehuda's Mekel, when it comes to Munach, if the bolt is just lying on the ground and not even tied to the door, so he does not describe that as binyan mamish. Yes, it's Mechzei Kebinyan, but it's not binyan mamish. Since it's only Mechzei Kebinyan, so you are allowed to use it in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, Mechzei Kebona, but in the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Shvus BeMikdash. Now, if it's Nigrar, now if it's hanging on the door, or I should say better, if it's tied to the door but lying on the ground, so then BeMedina. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda's make on that as well. And he says that you're allowed to use both in and outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. Meaning there's not even an issue of Mechzei Kebona. Okay, so what we have in our Mishnah over here is a discussion of where it is one where it's munach, and the Tanakam of our Mishnah is machmir to the point where he describes that as being even binyan mamish, as opposed to where it's tied to the door but it's hanging on the ground. Sorry, it's lying down on the ground. So under those circumstances, the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda as well. Rav Yehuda's mekel on both. Rav Yehuda says that when it is not even tied to the door, so it's not binyan. Mechzei kebona, maybe, but not maybe. Yes, it is, but it's not binyan. According to Shitas Rav Yehuda, that could be done in the Beis HaMikdash. You could take that bolt from the ground and attach it to the door, and that's not construction. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, mechzei kebona, it looks like you're building. It wasn't tied to the door. If, on the other hand, it's tied to the door, even if it's loose string, meaning it's on the floor, nevertheless, according to Rav Yehuda, you could use that afilu b'medina, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Tanu Rabbanan. We start with the Gemara Ezu, Nagar Nigrar. This price over here is pretty much going to echo what we heard back in the Mishnah. Ezu and Nagar Nigrar, Sheno Alim b'mikdash, Avalo b'medina. So describe for me where it's tied to the door, the bolt is tied to the door, but it is lying down on the ground. So Kol Shekashur v'talui v'rosho echa magila aretz. So that is the Nagar Nigrar, which according to the Tanakama of this Braisa, you could do that in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, this is echoing the sentiment of the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zeh, Af b'medina mutar. Rabbi Yehuda says you could use that even outside the Beis HaMikdash, meaning there's no issue whatsoever. It's not even Mechzei Kebona. Ela Ezu Nagar Shenoalim b'mikdash avalo b'medina. So Rabbi Yehuda says describe that which you can use in the Beis HaMikdash, but not b'medina, kol she'ino lo kasher v'lo talui, v'shamto manicha b'keren zavis, if the bolt is not tied to the door whatsoever. So that can be inserted in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, you have mechzei kebona. In the Beis HaMikdash, ein shvus b'mikdash. Okay, so this braisa really echoes what we already learned together in the Mishnah. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Shmuel, Lachi k'Rav Yehuda, b'nigrar. So if the bolt is tied to the door, so Rav Yehuda Mashmul says, the halacha falls like Rebbe Yehuda the Tana. And that means to say that as long as it's tied to the door, even if it's not hanging off the door, but we could be makel, and you could use that even b'medina, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rava v'hu shekashur b'delas. So Rava makes one clause, one proviso, and that is that it has to be tied to the door. Rashi describes over here, not to the door frame, meaning that in order to circumvent the issue of mechzei kebona, so it needs to be tied to the door itself, right? Think about our locks, which are connected to the door, meaning that way we see it as part and parcel of the door. In order for the bolt over here to be considered part and parcel of the door, so that it does not even enter the issue of mechzei kebona, so it has to be tied to the door itself, not to the door frame. Any of the Gemara says, now, wait one second. So what about the episode where Rabbi Tavla went to the town of Mechuzah v'chazaluhu dahava tali be'ivra d'dasha v'lo amaluhu v'lo midi? Now, we saw his bolt was tied to the door frame, not to the door. And yet they were fine with it. So the Gemara says, ha'u nital be'igudo hava. No, yeah, but when it was tied with a very taut string. And you could pick up the string, and it's going to come along with the string. Under those circumstances, so there, it's okay if it's tied to the door post. The requirement to have it tied to the door itself is when its connection to the door is done with a string that's not that strong. The Gemara tells another episode, Rabbi Avya Ikla Narda. Rabbi Avya went to the town of Narda, Chazalu Gavra Dahavaka Katir Begemi. The bolt was tied to the door, but with Gemi, some sort of very weak connection, right? Some sort of reed. So Amar Denlo Nitrok, and he said, this is not good. You can't tie it with this. It's simply not significant enough. Meaning it can be lying down on the ground, the bolt, but it has to be tied to the door with very strong string. So by Rebbe Zera Nikmaz Mahu. The Gemara now asks another question regarding bolts, right? For us, by the way, this Q&A is just a little bit challenging. We don't bolt our doors in this manner. So it's hard for us to see, right? If we lived in Bavel circa 3rd, 4th century, so all these questions would be obvious to us. But be that as it may, Nikmaz. Rashi describes it over here that what you're doing is the following. The bolt is going into the threshold of the door. Actually, it's going actually a little bit deeper into the threshold of the door, meaning, I guess because of it wore down, whatever the case may be, it's going into the ground itself. So now under those circumstances, does it look a little bit like construction right now? Because when I'm bolting the door, so I'm not just bolting it into the frame, but I'm bolting it, the bolt happens to go down into the ground. Is that going to be an issue? So I'm Rav Yosef, Maiti Ba'ilei Lo Shmi'alei Haditanya. So Rav Yosef says, come on, we know the brises. Now Rav Yosef happened to have been fluent in all the brises. That was Rav Yosef's skill, his superpower in knowing brises. So Rav Yosef says, you know the brisa. So Nishmat Asur Nikmaz Mutter. That if the bolt is not connected to the door, it's not tied to the door, that's going to be usher. But nikmaz, but if it goes down into the threshold and goes down to into the floor, so the brisa says that it's mutter. And Rav Yehuda amar nikmaz afa pishenu nishman usher. And Rav Yehuda says that it's usher. So it's funny, Rav Yosef knows the brisa, but the brisa itself has a machlokas satanayim on that issue. But in addition to that, Rav Yosef has more information, which is v'amar Rav Yehuda amar shmo alachik Rav Yehuda benikmaz. On top of that, he also has a psak, attributed back to Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol, which is that the halacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda in this case of Nikmaz, where the bolt is going through the threshold down into the floor. I realize now, and on the issue of Nikmaz, okay, I got it. I got a little bit confused. I'm going to unconfuse myself and hopefully unconfuse everyone else. On the issue of Nikmaz, Rabbi Yehuda is a machmir. Right. In the Mishnah where it was tied, just not suspended, Rav Yehuda is a mekel. On the issue of Nikmaz, where the bolt is going now through the threshold into the ground, so Rav Yehuda is a machmir. And now let's go back. And now Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, and the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda on the issue of Nikmaz, which means to be a machmir. V'taim amai. Okay, good. Now that we're all unconfused. And why? So Amar Abai Mishum Demechze Kabona, because now that the bolt is going through the threshold into the ground, now it looks like construction. And now it's not actual binyan because this is how it operates. This is the operating system of the lock. But nevertheless, because it actually now penetrating into the ground, mechze kabona, looks like you're building. Let's say we made a handle on the bolt. So in other words, the bolt now is not just a simple apparatus. It's not just a 2x4, but there's an actual handle on it so I can actually handle it. So Amale Buchna Kamart, he says, wow. So basically what you're describing is some sort of mortar. So, or pestle. So itmar. And basically what he's saying is it's a kli now. Once it's a kli, so that should be fine, right? Go back to the first Mishnah of today's daf where Shitas Rav Yosi is that once I have something that is has functional use, which is a kli, so then it's no longer muksa and also it's no longer mechze kabona. So itmar amar Rav Nechumi Barada asalo beisyad mutter. And Rav Nechumi Bar Abba is quoted as saying is that once the bolt has a handle on it, so it's going to be mutter. Hahu shir yusa dahave be Rebbe pedas dahave madle la be asara vishadula adasha v'lo amalu v'lo midi. So there was a beam in the house of Rebbe Padas, 10 people needed to carry this beam. And so obviously, really heavy. Over there, you can certainly make an argument that that's Mechse Kabona. 10 people need to carry it. Nevertheless, he was a Mekel. Amar Torah's Kli Aleha. He says it has a Torah's Kli, as a shame Kli. Okay, Rashi describes it as a shame Kli because you could sit down on it. So basically, we're bolting the door with a bench. Okay, it's not exactly a bench. It's not. It's a beam, but nevertheless, since it has utility, so therefore it has a shame Kli. And it no longer becomes an issue of Mechse Kabona. Hahu Asisa. So there was this mortar. Dahave Bey Marshmol, Dahave Mechaska Adriba. And how much could it hold? It can hold an Adriba. Rashi describes that to be a Lesech. That's 15 core. It's a lot. So Shar Marshmol Lemishrei, Lemishdaya Adasha, Amar Torah's Kli Aleha. And once again, now at this point in time, you can already anticipate what the Pesach is going to be. Mutter. Mutter under the circumstance because it's a Kli. It has a Shem Kli Aleha. Once it has the status of being a Kli, so no longer is it going to be a problem of bolting the door with it, because again, once it's a Kli, there is no, there's not an issue of Bona, not an issue even of Mechse Kabona. Shalach Le Rami Bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. Correspondence between Rami Bar Yecheskel and Rav Amram. Neimalan Mar Mehalein Mile Malyasa Damartlan Mishmei De Rav Asi Bekipi De Arba. So he made a request. Look, you know some of the memros that were said by Rav Asi as it related to arches on boats. So can we hear a little bit about the arches of a boat? Okay, not exactly popular discussion nowadays, but you're right back in the day. So usage of boats was common, and they went on boats on Shabbos. We've discussed that numerous times in our Masechta. And you want to create some sort of tenting on the boat. So what can we do in terms of making a tent on the boat? So as we already know, we're talking about making a tent. Making a tent is binyan, and it's making an OL. And certainly you understand how it comes up over here, even though it's a little bit off topic. But nevertheless, we're still in the category of binyan. And this is not going to be we're not talking about making a permanent tent. That would be an issur d'oraisa. We're talking about making an OL arai. So are we allowed to make an OL arai on Shabbos? So we discussed this just as recently as yesterday. And yesterday we put this into two categories. We talked about an OL arai, which is for use of its interior, and we talked about an OL arai for use of its exterior, right? We talked about making a bonfire and what you're going to do with the logs that obviously for Yontif, not for Shabbos, and when constructing the logs for the bonfire, so you're basically making a tent. But you're not doing it for the interior. So if you recall yesterday's daf, so we were exceptionally makel. In that what we allowed to do is that you're allowed to make it, you just have to make it in a reverse order. You have to make it from the top down, not from the bottom up. However, the other category of ol arai is where you're making it for the interior. So there we pointed out, we're generally speaking, there are no kulas. There's one notable kula, which we're actually going to revisit right now. So Shalach Le'achi, so he says, okay, so I'll talk now a little bit about the arches of the boat. Amar Rav Asi, Hanikipa De'arbo, Bizman Sheyesh Ba'am Tefach, Inami Ein Ba'am Tefach, Ve'ein Bein Zeh Lazeh, Shlosha, L'machar, Mevi Machatzel Supports Aleihem, My Time Amostif Al Ol Arayhu, V'Shapir Dami. So he says, look, can I make some sort of roofing on the boat? If there already exists a roof of a Tefach, and I'm just adding on to that, that's what's called Mosif Al Ha'ohel. That's Mutter. Even if there's not pre-existing roof, but the arches are within proximity of three Tfachim of one another, we have the principle of Lavud. Lavud basically allows us to view as those arches being filled in the gaps. And that also now is a pre-existing OL. And so therefore, same conclusion. Now what you're doing is you're just being Mosif. You're Mosif Al Olarai. Mosif Al Olarai is acceptable. Okay, that's the leniency regarding what you're allowed to do with an ol arai. You're allowed to be mosif on an already existing ol. The already existing ol has to have a tefach because that's a significant shear for an ol. Once it has that, then you can add on to it. Second discussion that they had, hanu dichrei, da'avilu Rav Huna had some rams. To be yamamu ba'otula, during the day they needed shade, of a laila, ba'yavir, at night they needed air. So asal kama derav amalei zil kroch, budina v'shari ba'tefach. So he says, I'll tell you what to do. Before Shabbos, so what you'll do is you're going to set up the canvas the canopy, make sure that it already has a tefach before Shabbos. And lamacher pashto mosif ala arayhu v'shapir dami. And now what you're doing the next day is you're just simply adding on to that. Once again, mutter lagamre. Am rav mishum rebbi chia vilon mutter lintosa umutter lapoker v'shabbos a screen. A vertical screen, you're allowed to put it down and you're allowed to take it off on Shabbos. It's simply not significant. Now, Rashi, a number of places throughout Shas, describes how the Isser of Binyan Oel, Asiyas Oel, is only on the horizontal, only on the actual rooftop, but not the vertical walls. That's Rashi throughout Shas. And so over here, this Gemara over here fits in well with Rashi. Although, admittedly, Rashi right here in our Gemara, so Rashi says something interesting. Rashi writes, Mutal and Toso, Delav Oel Hu, Delo Kivi Hasam, Ela Kain Darko Lina Sein Ulehistalek, Kedelas Ba'alma. So Rashi over here offers an interesting pshat, and that is the temporary nature of the screen. You know you're just going to put it up, you're going to take it down. It's so makeshift, it's so temporary, it's kind of like a door, says Rashi. And that's why it's mutter. So it's interesting Rashi makes that comment over here, and Rashi just doesn't simply describe it as being vertical, not horizontal. Okay, anyway. Kilas Chasanim. Next case in the Mishnah. This is now number 4 in this correspondence. Kilas Chasanim mutter l'parko ulantosa b'Shabbos. So you have the canopy, so you're allowed to set it up. You're allowed to take it down on Shabbos. Now, setting up the canopy of a bed, so if we're talking about 4 posts, so it's difficult to understand. Meaning, you're making an oel on Shabbos. And even though it's not permanent, it's temporary, but still, you're making an oel. Now, if it already had a certain amount and you're just adding to it, that's fine. But that's not what we're describing right now. We're describing the start and finish of an oel on Shabbos. So how does that work? So what we're describing over here is that, and you can see pictures of Rashi over here. We're not describing a canopy on 4 posts, but we're describing a canopy of 2 posts, one by the head, the other by the foot. And so basically what we're creating over here is an inverted V. Under those circumstances, now there is no roof. There is no roof because you can see in the picture, it comes to a point. And so therefore, a roof by definition has to have a flat, a horizontal of a tefach. You don't have that over here, so therefore it's fine. Simply because it doesn't comply with the definition of an oel. I'm Rav Sheshes Bered Darvidi Lo Amar and Ela She'ein Bigaga Tefach. Now that's true if there isn't a tefach on the gag, meaning if it doesn't come to a point, but when you get to the top it flattens out a tefach, so then it's going to be a problem. It's going to be an iser. Avayesh Bigaga Tefach Aser. V'chiyein Bigaga Tefach Lo Amar and Ela She'ein Bepachos Mishal Shamach Lagag. Tefach aval yesh bepachos mishosho samach legag, tefach aser. Now, if 3 tefachim from the top, it extends a tefach, so that's going to be it's going to be aser as well. Now, despite the fact that it's not the top, but nevertheless, the principle of Lovet over here is going to hurt us. The principle of Lovet now is going to basically see anything within 3 tefachim from the top as being qualified as the top. And so therefore, if within 3 tefachim of the top, it is a tefach, so then it's going to be aser. V'chiyein b'pachos mishosho samach l'gag tefach nami lo amara ela she'ein b'shipu'a tefach aval yesh b'shipu'a tefach shipu'e o'alim ko'alim dami. Now this last qualification over here is going to be immensely challenging. And that is let's say the slant comes down to the bed, and by the time the slant arrives at the bed, there is a tefach gap between the side and the center. So under those circumstances now, that also is going to be considered an oel, because shipu'e oalim, because the slanted roof still has the status of being a roof. And so therefore, if the slant, when it hits the bottom, is going to be a tefach from the bottom slant to the center point, so then that also is going to be usher as well, because that also is going to have the status of being an oel. Now, if you think about it, that makes for an extraordinarily narrow bed. So that means to say that when the canopy comes down, there cannot be a tefach from the bottom of the edge of the canopy to the center of the bed. If that's true, this canopy coming down now, how big is our bed? Our bed is going to be 2 tefachim. Now that's absurd. A bed of 2 tefachim, okay, that's not a twin. That's approximately 8 inches. Okay, that's not a bed. Rashi's bothered by that right over here. Rashi on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Beis. So Rashi struggles with this idea that this last qualification over here is going to effectively disqualify any kind of canopy whatsoever, even the Kilas Chasanim, even the canopy on 2 poles, because for sure the bed is going to be wider than 2 tefachim. So Rashi does over here is that Rashi tries to come up with a scenario, a construct in which you can have a canopied bed, a kilas chasanim, where the slant is not going to go all the way to the bottom. If you have a picture, so by all means, look at a picture. I'm sure they draw it up nicely. All right, I have a standard Gemara. If you look at Rashi over here and you look at the schematic in Rashi, so basically what you're looking at is that the canopies themselves don't go all the way to the base, but the canopies are basically themselves held up by some sort of poles. And under those circumstances now, the slant is not going all the way down. The slant is only going to the poles. Okay, and that's how you can have a scenario in which, even at the bottom of the slant, it's not a tefach away from the center. Okay. It does not sound that conventional, but nevertheless, that's Rashi's description over here. Let's continue. Number five, this in the correspondence that started off on the towards the bottom of the Amud Aleph, right? The Shalchlei Rami Bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. So Rav Yecheskel and Rav Amram are having correspondence. So most of the correspondence dealt with Ol, but now one more point of correspondence. This too possibly could have an Ol tie to it. Amrav Shisha Bereder of Edi Siana Share. Wearing a hat with a brim is going to be mutter. Now the brim over here could be qualified as an OL. It is a tefach, and so it might be an issue of OL. Now you're not making the OL, but nevertheless you're fixing it, and that's enough. That's enough for it to be an OL. And yet he says that it's mutter. V'atanya Aser. Now we learned on the Brisa that it's Aser. Lo kasha adi islay tefach adal islay tefach. So the Gemara says, well, it depends how wide the brim is. If the brim is the tefach, so then it's going to be an issue of Ol, and therefore it's going to be Aser. If it's less than a tefach, then it's not an Ol, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. Elamiata Sharviv Biglima Tefach Hachinami Da Aser. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say you're wearing something that has a hood on it, and the hood happens to extend, and extends out of tefach. You want to tell me then now that's going to be an Ol, it's going to be Aser? And the questioner thinks to himself, that's just such a... It's so untenable, right? It's hard to imagine that clothing is going to have a shame OL on it. Even if technically it may go out of tefach, but you can't call that an OL. So to which the Gemara's response is, okay, so don't call it an OL. You're right. Ela lo kasha. So the Gemara over here seems to abandon the entire idea of describing a hat as an OL. And certainly that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. When the Gemara now goes and gives a new approach, It opens up with the words Ella. Ella, generally speaking, means that we are rejecting everything that we said previously, and we're going to now provide a totally different approach. So Ella lokasha had the mehadik had the mehadik. So the Gemara says that it depends on whether or not how secured it's fastened or how unsecured it's fastened. Rashi writes over here, "V'taima lo mishum ol hu." Rashi writes explicitly, right? The Gemara is abandoning the idea that there's an issue of ol as it relates to hats. Ella dumanafel mireisha v'asul asuye. The issue is that you're walking and you're wearing a hat, so you have a wind that comes, picks up the hat, and it's going to blow it off. So the Vasil Asui, you're going to carry it. So Hilkach Himahadik V'Kasher, Rashi writes, Hilkach Himahadik V'Kasher Birtsua Tachat Savaro Share V'Ilo Aser. So therefore, so if the hat has got some sort of secure to it, some sort of fastener to it, okay, I don't know what it's called, but everybody knows what I'm describing. We're basically... There's like a seatbelt to the hat where you tie it underneath your chin. So under those circumstances, it's going to be mutter. If, however, it's not secure to your head and it's going to blow off, so the chachamim will worry that then you're going to pick it up, walk dal amos brishus rabim after you have picked it up, not put it right back on, and so therefore it's going to be usher. That's the explanation of the two different psukim when it comes to hat. One mutter, the other usher. Now it's a function of whether or not it is secure to the head or not secure to the head. One more Mishnah regarding doors. Machzirin tzir hatachton b'mikdash avalo b'medina. In terms of the bolts, the hinges, really, if you will. Tzir is more of the hinges of the door. Hinges of the doors do not look like they do now, right? Our modern hinges are kind of tucked away into the door itself, securing the door to the posts. But back in the day, the hinges basically were little knobs that comes off the ends of the door and are placed into the holes that are put onto the threshold of the door. Okay, either way, machzirin tzir atachton b'mikdash avalo b'medina. So the bottom hinge so that you're allowed to reattach in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. And again, we're going to say the same thing we said previously. In the Beis HaMikdash, so there is no Issa D'Rabbanan, so even though this may look like construction, but nevertheless, it's going to be mutter because Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, so you are not allowed to do so. Now, why are you not allowed to do so? So you could say that it's Mechzei Kabinyan. It looks like you are building if you are if you're reinserting it into the bottom. But that's not the way Rashi describes it. Rashi describes over here Avalo b'Medina. Rashi says Gzereshem Yinate Yitake. Sorry, Begarzon o b'Makaves Dehavi Malacha. So Rashi over here says that what you may end up doing is you may really bang it in with some sort of a hammer, and then it would be a malacha. And probably what Rashi is describing over here is makib patish, by hammering it in, so that's the final blow, and so then it would be the finishing touch of this item. Okay, that is Rashi's description over here of what the concern would be by the tzira tachton. Now, what about the elyon? Next part of the Mishnah, back to the Mishnah. The elyon kamikan aser. So when it comes to the elyon, so it's going to be aser both in the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. So why? So because if the top hinge comes off, then the door is going to fall. Reinserting it is an act of binyan. That's Rashi's description over here. The elyon kam v'kan aser, dekevish yatsa elyon kulo nofel v'have kibbone. Now v'kasav yesh binyan b'kli u'malach lo hutra afilo b'mikdash. And the author of this Tana of our Mishnah said that there is binyan b'kelim. Now I know earlier this morning I said ain binyan b'kelim, but remember it's a machlokas atanayim whether or not yesh binyan iskir b'kelim or ain binyan iskir b'kelim. What I explained earlier this morning is that Rashi Shita within the Shita of ain binyan iskir b'kelim is that categorically there is no binyan by any kind of kli whatsoever. But Rashi over here in explaining our Mishnah is saying that whoever the Tanakhama is of our Mishnah, despite the fact that we're talking about a door and a door is a kli, nevertheless, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah subscribes to the other viewpoint, which is Yesh Binyan Ustira Bekalim. Back to our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda Omer Aliyom B'Mikdash V'Atachlam B'Medina. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to the upper hinge, so that you're allowed to reattach in the base of Mikdash, meaning no problem whatsoever. Presumably, Rabbi Yehuda is of the position, the way Rashi would explain it, is that it's a kli and ain binyan v'stir b'kelim, and there's no issue whatsoever. The hatachton b'medina, but when it comes to the lower hinge, so that could be reattached both in the Beis HaMikdash and also b'medina as well. Rabbi Yehuda obviously being more of a makel on both on the upper hinge and on the lower hinge. Tana Rabbanan. Gemara quotes the Brisa, Tzir Del Shita Teva Migdal b'Mikdash Machzirin b'medina dochkin. So if I have the hinge of the door, or the door of any kind of chest, so in the Beis HaMikdash you can return it, in outside the Beis HaMikdash, dochkin. You could just simply push it back, but you can't reinsert it. Now when it comes to the upper hinge, so you're not allowed to put it back because Shema Yitaka. You might come and hammer it in, Maki Bepatish. V'imtaka Chayiv Chatas. And now, if you do hammer it in, it's chayiv chatas, meaning it's a malacha. Shal bor shal v'shaldus v'shal yitzia lo yachzir v'imhichzir chayiv chatas. Now, if the hinges of the door that you're reinserting is a doorway down into some sort of cellar or some pit, so under those circumstances now, this door is basically part of the ground, and so this is going to be now an act of binyan. It's no longer part of a kli, it's part of the ground, and so therefore, if one were to reattach it, that'd be an iser daraisa. Presumably here of Bona, the Malacha Bona. We start with the next Mishnah. We're moving topics. So for most of today's talk, we were discussing bolts on the door, which bolts are mutter, which bolts are usser, how the bolt is suspended to the door, and we went on to discuss other issues of Asiyas Oel. We talked about the hinges of the door coming off, the reattachment of the hinges, or is one allowed to do that? We move on now, this next Mishnah, no longer talking about the issue of a CSOL. Again, now just an assorted number of topics here at the end of Masechet Erevin. Machzirin Ritzia b'Mikdash v'lo b'Medina. Putting back the bandage. So you have some sort of cut that you want closed, so you you put back the you're putting back the bandage. You can reattach it, not reattach it, but you can put the bandage back on in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Rashi over here writes as follows. As far as putting on a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash, why would you want to take it off? So Rashi describes over here, because you're a Kohen, you're doing the Avoda. And we know the halach is that when the Kohanim do the Avoda, so anything that they have to handle with their hand itself. There cannot be a chatzitza between that which they're handling and the hand. So if they have some sort of wound and they were wearing some sort of bandage, we're obviously talking about some sort of thick bandage over here, or some sort of wide bandage, so they can't be holding it while doing the Avoda. Therefore, they're going to want to take the bandage off in order to do the Avoda, and then putting the bandage back on. Now, over here, the issue is not so much adhesion, right? You and I think about bandage. So there is an issue of adhesion because our Band-Aids are, you know, they have some sort of adhesive material on the bandage. And but that's not, that wasn't their issue. Their issue, as will become evident through the Mishnah and the Gemara, is that the bandage had an ointment on it. And if I take it off and I reapply, so that basically now I'm reapplying the ointment, I'm smoothing down the ointment. So that's being mimareach. Smoothing down something which is really thick is the tolada of mimareach, which it's av malacha, is being mamachik. Right, going back to the seventh parak of Shabbos, one of the 39 malachos is being mamachik when you're smoothing leather. So anytime you're smoothing something which is rough, even a really thick ointment, so that is a tolada of this malacha. And so therefore now, the issue over here is reapplying the ointment. So machzir ritiyah b'mikdash avlo b'medina, so in the Beis HaMikdash you can do it, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, the issue is, the concern is that you will be memarech. Okay, sorry. In betchila kan v'kan aser. To put a bandage on for the first time on Shabbos, it's going to be aser. Now, of course, assuming that it's we're not looking at a possibility of a sakana of real critical danger. If we're talking about critical danger, obviously, so then for sakana purposes, you can put it on. But just to put on the ointment for the first time on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. Tana Rabban and the Gemara quotes the Brisa of Ritiyah Shapir Shabbat Al Gabe Maka Machzirim B'Shabbos. If the bandage comes off on from your wound on Shabbos, so you can return it. Rav Yehuda Omer Huchlika Lamata Dochka Lamala. Lamala Dochka Lamata. If, let's say, it slides in a particular direction, so you could slide it back. If it slides down, you could slide it up. If it slides up, you could slide it back down again. Ooh, Megala Mixas Ritiyah O Mekanech Pia Maka. Vechoz Megala Mixas Ritiyah O Mekanech Pia Maka. Now, what you can also do if you want to clean the wound is that you can expose some of the bandage to clean one side of the wound and expose the other side of the bandage in order to clean the other side of the wound. Now, you cannot wipe the bandage down, because wiping the bandage down, the bandage itself has all that thick ointment, and wiping it down would be a violation of being memarech. Now, if you did that, you'd be chayv karmen chatas. So, to treat the bandage itself with the ointment, so that's memarech, and that's an issur d'oraisa. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel Halacha, Rav Yehuda. So the halacha is, in fact, like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, regarding the Ritiya, sorry, Rav Yehuda of the Brisa, regarding the Ritiya, gave a number of allowances, and that is that if it slides down, you can slide it back up again. The halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Chisa Loshana El Shapir Shalagabe Kli. Now, if the Ritiya falls off, you're allowed to put it on again. That's only if it doesn't fall on the ground. If it falls on a Kli, so that's fine. Av Pir Shalagabe Karka, Divrei Akol Aser. If the bandage falls on the ground, you can't put it back on again. Now, you and I are thinking infection and fine, and that's good. But the from the Gemara standpoint, the consideration over here is that if it falls on the ground, putting back on would be like putting it on for the first time, which we said is aser. Amar Mar Barav Ashi Havakamine Kame Abba Naflale Abbe Saja. So an episode involving Mar Barav Ashi, where he was in front of his father, and the bandage fell on a pillow. The kamahadole, and he put it back on again. Amin alei lo savala marla had amar of chista machloshe pisha gabe kliav al pisha gabe karka aser. And remember, if it falls on the kli, it's motor. If it falls on the ground, it's aser. V'amar shmo halachik Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, and the halach in fact falls like Rabbi Yehuda. So amar li lo shmi ali klamar lo sfir ali. He says, no. In other words, this distinction about whether or not it falls on a kli versus whether it falls on the ground. And it's interesting over here, the pillow, you could have said it was a kli, but he looked at it as if it fell on the ground. He says, basically, I don't hold that distinction. Meaning, that's a distinction, but Rav Yehuda didn't make such a distinction. Rav Yehuda said that if the bandage was on before Shabbos, you can, and it falls off, you could put it back on again. I don't hold of any such distinction. In other words, you could put the bandage back on again. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We're going to pick it up with the Mishnah tomorrow. Just as a quick recap of today's daf, we talked about bolts on the door. Two Mishnayos that opened up today's daf, talking about bolts on the door. The first Mishnah talked about where the bolt had some sort of knob at the end of it. Basically, it was a functional kli under those circumstances. So Rav Yossi of that Mishnah says, once it's a kli, it's mutter, meaning it's not a muksa issue, and it's not mechzika bona because you don't build with kalim. So it's not bona, it's not even mechzika bona. That was the first Mishnah. And she says Rav Yossi. Then the next Mishnah, Nagar Nigrar, just talking about a simple bolt, it's not a kli, and it's dragging on the floor, meaning it's tied to the door. So are you allowed to use it? Machlokas in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda said that you are allowed to use it even though it is not, the string that it's tied to is not taut. It's not literally hanging off the door, but it's tied to the door, and so therefore you're allowed to use it. That sheet is Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara says that's the conclusion. The conclusion like Rav Yehuda, that once it's tied to the door, so then you're allowed to use it. The Gemara provides a qualification. It's got to be tied to the door itself. Being tied to the frame of the door is simply insufficient. Gemara discussed on the Amud Aleph, what if the bolt is going into the threshold and actually into the ground? Right, that was the Gemara's discussion of Nikmaz. And under those circumstances, Machlokas, but the Gemara is Machmir in that circumstance, and that's Machzei Kabona. What if the bolts are really heavy? Gemara discussed that as well. The Gemara says, as long as it has the Shem Kli on it, you're allowed to use it. Right? The Gemara described a bolt that was needed 10 people to carry, and still you're allowed to use it. The bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph towards the top of Kuf Beis Amud Beis. So correspondence back and forth on Asiyas Ol, Ol Arai, making a temporary tent. And the basic idea is, the rule is that as long as you already have a pre-existing tent of one tefach, so then you can be Mosif Al Binyan. So we can be Mosif Al Ol Arai. That's the allowance that you can do with Ol Arai. And we contrasted that with yesterday, talking about making a tent from top to bottom versus bottom to top. But as we pointed out, categorically, there are two types of Ol Arais. An Ol Arai for the interior, where there the only allowance is being most of all being an Arai, as opposed to in yesterday's daf, where that was a description of a Ol that you're making for the exterior, not for the interior. And so there, we could be even more makel. That was the Gemara yesterday's daf, Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah talked about hinges. What if the door comes out of the hinge? Can you reinsert it? A distinction to be made between the lower hinge and an upper hinge. An upper hinge, so you're going to be more machmir because it looks like you're really reattaching the door. Parenthetically, by the way, not even a parenthetical point. Right when we talk about doors of that Mishnah, we're really talking about doors of a chest, not doors of the home. Right? May be different. The doorway, if it's a doorway to a cellar or a doorway to a pit, so there you can't reattach it because that's the ground, and reattaching it to the ground, that's binyan, and that is categorically usser. The Gemara says that if you do that, it's a chiv chattas, it's an issur d'oraisa. And the last thing that we talked about is reapplying the bandages. The bandages come off in the base of mikdash. You can take it off and put it back on again. An important Rashi, by the way, which I didn't highlight when we learned it, but in the review, it's not too late, and let's discuss this Rashi. The Rashi in terms of putting the bandage back on again in the Beis HaMikdash. You see, in the Beis HaMikdash, the allowance is that you're allowed to take it off knowing that you're going to put it back on again. So why did they allow that in the Beis HaMikdash? So again, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, but why do they allow it? So Rashi points out because if you don't allow them to take it off, if you don't allow them to put it back on again, they're not going to want to take it off. And Rashi says, and then, by the way, that's going to prevent them from doing the avoda. And Rashi writes, it's the Rashi in that Mishnah of Machzir and Ritia. And Rashi says this is one of those occasions, one of those examples of Hutra Sofan Mishun Tchilasan, where they allowed the conclusion because of the beginning, or they allowed the beginning because of the conclusion. Meaning to say that if the Chachamim did not give an allowance for them to take it off, So then, taking it off is not an issue whatsoever. Putting it back on is the issue. If the Chachamim did not allow the Kohanim to put it back on again, so then they would never take it off, knowing that they can't put it back on again. And then they're not going to do the Avoda. So this is one of those circumstances where the beginning is allowed because we know what the eventuality is going to be if they don't allow the Kohanim to reattach the bandage. Then they're not going to take it off to begin with. Okay, so and a number of other examples. We're going to see it together in Masechta Beitza later in Daf Yomi Mirza Hashem. We'll stop over here.